Welcome back. Our guest this week is Trevor Thomas, who's launched a civil rights petition drive to include the gay community under the state's civil rights law. Our lead story, lawmakers start the new year addressing an old problem. On the OTR panel, Jonathan Osteen, Kyle Malin, and Zoe Clark sit in with us as we get the inside out off the record.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Business Leaders for Michigan, dedicated to making Michigan a top 10 state for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. More information about the employers working to accelerate Michigan's status is available at businessleadersformichigan.com. And now, this edition of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Off the Record. Well, the lawmakers are back. Thank goodness. Now we have to actually make phone calls, see what's going on. Let's see what's going on.
Outside the state capitol, they were dismantling the state Christmas tree. Well, inside, they were trying to assemble a road fix package as lawmakers return to work. And the governor is seeking new revenue for the roads. And she is seriously looking at selling bonds to raise the cash for the roads. But will she go there?
We'll see. You'll have to stay tuned, Tim.
Okay, that's a yes, isn't it?
No, it's not a yes.
If the governor does propose selling bonds, she may not get a yes vote from the Senate Republican leader.
Bonding is one of my last options that I'd want to consider for roads. Bonding is not necessarily bad, but I'm not sure it's the right solution for roads, but I'm not going to take anything off the table at this point in time.
The governor argues new revenue is definitely needed from somewhere, but Mr. Shirky is not so sure.
So you would rather have a gas tax hike than a bonding proposal?
I'm not convinced we need complete revenue anyway.
The governor won't like that. Meanwhile, over in the Republican Speaker's office, Representative Lee Chatfield will not commit to any new revenue either. His demand is to make sure that the state sales tax, now collected at the pump, goes to the roads.
I'm open to all options when it comes to fixing our roads. First thing is first, we have to put all tax money at the pump to go to roads.
If that is taken care of, would you consider a smaller gas tax hike?
So I'm not going to get in a hypothetical conversation right now. I would tell you my first priority is taking all tax dollars at the pump and putting them towards roads.
Complicating the road fix issue this year, every member of the Michigan House is running for re-election, and raising the gas tax, which was a hard sell last year, automatically becomes a harder sell this election year.
Well, they want to get reelected.
Well, sure.
And they don't want to take a tough vote.
No, and you know what? I'm really excited about 2020.
You got about 4 months to do it.
We've got a short window.
So the next move is up to Governor Whitmer, who's expected to release her Plan B to fix the roads, hoping for a better turnout this year than on Plan A last year.
All right, Jonathan, help me out. Didn't last year the Republican leader in the Senate say, after a number of things are done, we will need new revenue to fix the roads?
He did acknowledge that last year. You've got him, of course, saying this week he's, it's basically a bargaining position, right? He's not going to come out and the first day of 2020 and say, I'm willing to give the governor everything she wants here. But, of course, it's just like with the budget, right? They said the budget's not done, but then they were passing bills to change the budget. So, this is brinksmanship to some degree. Everybody knows some level of new revenue is going to be required here, and I think Republicans know that as well.
New year, new decade, same story almost, isn't it? Same position.
Nothing's changed.
As soon as they get serious, as soon as they want to get serious, we've talked on this program before that they can find the kind of a compromise where they can raise some additional revenue. It's just whether they can get to that $2.5 billion. Will Whitmer settle for anything less? And this is something that is going to struggle to play out as we get closer to the election. It could just be a lame duck issue, honestly.
There's a good prediction. Let's save the tape on that one.
Seen this movie again and again, it feels like. And the other issue is this $2.5 billion, let's not forget, is not a stagnant number, right? That when you actually look at the money that's needed for roads, whether you agree that it's 2.5 or 1.5, that number continues to get higher as less money is funded and more roads deteriorate.
Something tells me the governor is not going to come back with a bigger ask this year after her $2.5 million
didn't. Yes, I am
willing to agree with that.
But you are right. I mean, from a logical perspective, if you're not fixing roads, they get more expensive to fix. The problem gets more expensive. The longer you don't do anything, the harder it is to do.
Doesn't she pay the price of admission to the speaker to give him the sales tax at the pump? But here's the problem. It creates a $600 to $800 million hole in the budget that the schools and local governments get. Mr. Speaker, where's your plan to fill the hole? That'll be the question, right?
Well, and that continues to be the question that we have seen this administration say again, with quite a bit of deja vu, bring a plan to the table, right? That in March when the gas tax, or in the spring when the gas tax was released from the Whitmer administration, she kept saying, I will come to the table with anything and let's have a conversation, right? And there really was never a proposal that was brought back at a lower amount or anything else.
But there was a promise to raise the gas tax.
Oh, are we going there?
So she said, what did you guys make of that?
Well, I was thinking about her suggestion on bonding, and the governor does have the authority to have a limited amount of bonding issued through the State Transportation Commission.
$1 billion.
Yeah, it's $1 billion for a year, and she wants $2.5 billion per year going forward. I think what she might be talking about is some expanded powers, and I'm telling you, from talking to conservatives on the Republican side, they would rather do a smaller gas tax increase than bond. They feel like bonding is kicking the problem to future administrations. Mm-hmm. They see the John Engler bonding programs, the Build Michigan 1, 2, and 3. We're still paying those off. We're still paying $157 million every year to pay off roads that we've already fixed a time or two. They don't like bonding at all.
And you heard from the Senate Majority Leader Shirky basically saying not necessarily absolutely no, but that it is on the bottom of his list.
But yet, there is political appeal for the people that are antsy in the House about running for re-election. If I do a bonding proposal, I'm not raising your taxes, folks.
Well, of course, it's the politically easier thing to do. I mean, it has repercussions.
So what hasn't the legislature done that?
Well, I mean, the governor hasn't pushed the issue. Recall, she always said in her campaign that bonding was her backup plan if the legislature was unwilling or unable to come up with some new revenue that she was asking for. Well, I think we're at that point, so we might see that backup plan here.
I think you guys are right. The two Republican leaders are just staking out their negotiating position. This is the beginning of the dance, okay? The band is warming up, and the governor will perform on the 29th of January?
Uh-huh. Wednesday, the 29th.
Yeah, I think it's a hybrid plan. I think we'd get a little bonding, a little gas tax.
What about the election? You think that there's going to be some kind of Proposal A, Proposal B type style thing that we kicked about?
Yeah, pick one from column A or column B. Which one, which death do you want? By poison or chopping your head off?
Sure. Some of the speaker's comments, of course, the 6% removing the sales tax on gasoline, the idea of lowering registration fees in exchange for some sort of other new revenue mechanism. Those are all options that might be best put to voters in some sort of a package. That said, doing that, you run the risk of creating another Christmas tree proposal, which is what doomed the 2015
ballot measure. But you've got to make it clear there are going to be no bulbs on this tree, okay? Yeah. This is just the bonding thing, and don't lard it up.
Or you can say, we're going to raise the gas tax, or you're just going to pay a penny more on your sales tax. The end. Like, that's one of the big problems with the old proposal back in 2015 that got destroyed. That got loaded up. If you just make it a straight penny increase, does that have more appeal? Does that
pass? I think the question is, can that actually happen in Lansing, right? Can there just be that one question? And I think right now, as we are getting back in, the legislature's coming back, it is going to be really incumbent to see what happens in the spring. Because as the governor said to you, there's going to be a hell of a pothole season. And what does kind of add? Because in past years, we have always said, and once spring comes, that's when they're going to get down to it.
I'm not sure that carries much political
weight.
That's
what I'm saying.
If she's pinning her hopes of getting the legislature on board, she's going to have 10 or 20 lawmakers fall into a pothole and not come out.
Well, okay? Look, Tim, every year we have seen in recent years that the legislature has approved some sort of supplemental funding in the spring because it is an actual issue for their public. Their constituents start complaining to them about the roads. They do hear it in spring. So that is a real factor, I think, whether it's enough to get it over the hump.
$600 million it's being spent this year for the first time. This is from a couple of years ago that's in the pipeline. So there'll be lots of orange barrels out there.
And what'll be interesting is, does it become become an election issue, right, with the House, that the governor ran on fix the damn roads, yep. and will Republicans kind of do this thing of, well, she couldn't make it happen, and she comes back with, well, I did my darndest, and Republicans wouldn't be willing to come to the table. And what does that narrative look like as it gets closer to
petition drive on gay rights, Elliot Larson, what did you make of that?
Well, yeah, so we're going to have a petition drive to put on the ballot a proposal to expand the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to gay and transgender individuals, and they tried to add a religious sweetener to this proposal that would define what religion is, closely held personal beliefs, in an attempt to put the olive branch toward the conservative element of the state. I'm not quite sure that succeeded, but
they're not buying it.
No, I know. They've got the folks who are pushing the ballot proposal, though, are looking for initiated law, not a constitutional change. So they need fewer signatures, but the legislature also has the opportunity to approve it so it doesn't go to the ballot. Why they would do that would be purely political reasons as to who would be drawn to come out in addition in the 2020 election to either support or oppose it.
This is the same business coalition, labor coalition, and nonprofit groups that were behind this thing in the legislature before where they came up to the line, but they didn't cross it.
Yeah, this business coalition has been advocating for this since at least, I think, 2014 or 2015. Governor Snyder did sort of tepidly encourage the legislature to consider the issue. There actually was one hearing held under House Speaker Jace Bolger, but it didn't go anywhere because he tried to pair it with a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which his groups didn't like. We've seen this effort sort of, you know, gaining steam over the years. The new development is, and we can talk to our guests about this later, that, you know, unlike in 2016 when now Attorney General Dana Nessel talked about doing a petition drive, Equality Michigan, one of the state's largest LGBT rights, or the largest LGBT rights advocacy group, is on board with this approach, which is different than in 2016 when advocates weren't sure whether to go through the legislature or through a petition drive.
I talked to Jeremy Moss from Southfield in December before we knew this thing was coming, mm-hmm. and he said, here's the problem with putting this on the ballot. First of all, how many people have to put their rights mm-hmm. on the ballot for the voters to say is okay?
Yeah.
He said, and what if we lose?
Right. That was the deep concern about why that didn't happen, and that is, again, what we'll be talking with the guest about is why now with a ballot initiative when we have seen Jeremy Moss, who earlier this session did introduce the legislation in the legislature.
The legislature will do this.
Well, sure. And so what is that change now to go directly to voters, and what's changed over the past few years?
Let's get an answer to that question by calling in our guest. Thank you. Trevor, come on in. Trevor Thomas is a former candidate for Congress, former TV news producer, worked as a researcher for Governor Granholm, and now works at Consumers Energy. His political assignment now is co-chair of a newly launched petition drive to include the LGBTQ community under the state civil rights law. He holds degrees from Grand Valley and Northwest University. Welcome to OTR.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Let's take a shot here, Kyle.
Well, you heard our earlier segment about this is a different proposal than the one that was tried a couple years ago. From your standpoint, how is this effort different, and why is this going to succeed while the other one did not?
The other one was constitutional, and there's the technicalities about how you have more signatures and maybe more money, and maybe some of the data will show you that it's a Herculean lift to be able to convince someone first to change the Constitution, no matter the issue. But what we witnessed this week is a group of citizens, Michigan citizens, supported by business leaders, individuals from both sides of the aisle, members of the philanthropic community, and geography spread across Michigan with an honorary leadership committee of more than 40 of us and growing. And we are committed to initiating law. This idea where you can introduce a citizen's bill and be able to encourage the legislature to take action. As everyone at the table knows, for 37 years since Representative Jim Dressel introduced the bill, we have been waiting. But what's powerfully happened is we've been telling our stories and changing public opinion. And so we look forward to working hand in hand with the legislature to be able to ideally encourage them to take action before May 27.
Do you think for a second that this Republican legislature will pass this law if you get there?
Yes, you've got two things happening. business leaders are going to continue to grow. You're going to see larger companies coming out in the coming 2 weeks plus. It'll be a rolling basis.
Excuse me. By the same token, business endorsed a gas tax increase and got a goose egg.
Second, we also will have a number of Republicans continuing to grow. I think I feel so blessed that Susie Avery, the former Michigan Republican chairwoman, came out in support. Of course, Mel Larson, who originally authored the bill and also chaired the Michigan Republican Party. Rick Johnson, the former Speaker of the House. There are others very committed to wanting to see action.
No, three vote in the legislature,
have
sir.
Have you had any conversations with any Republican sitting legislators right now?
Absolutely. So we have requested meetings with leadership. We certainly can have those meetings if I have my company hat on. But Equality Michigan, where I chair the C4 Board of Directors, and through this effort of Fair and Equal Michigan, we will continue to have conversations with lawmakers.
And so what are you hearing from Republican lawmakers when you bring up the issue?
A couple of things. One, that they'd like to see action. Two,
Republican lawmakers are saying they'd like to see action?
Yes, absolutely. They would like to see action. They also would definitely not like to see this go to the voters. And so they will continue to have the opportunity in the coming months to be able to take up the bill before May 27. Why that date, Tim? That is our deadline for turning in signatures to initiate law. And it doesn't take control out of their hands. The legislature is still very much in control. And remember, the citizens' bill will sit on the state floor, both the House and Senate, for 40 days.
Why don't they want this to go to the ballot?
Everyone's turning out. So certainly the top question I get is, does this drive turnout for one party or the other? But what we witnessed, not only in prior elections, when you think about, I was around in 2004 when we had the anti-LGBT statewide initiative, and that occurred in a number of states. And I would suggest that pollsters and data analytics teams on both sides of the aisle would suggest there is no conclusive evidence that it drives turnout for either party. But when you talk to our pollster, Richard Shuba, or I'm confident a number, they will tell you that turnout predictions are quite high, the confidence levels are quite high, and you're going to see everybody turn out in November of 2020.
Trevor,
but my focus is to see action in the legislature before May 27.
Trevor, the House Speaker, though, and the Senate Majority Leader Lee Chatfield and Mike Shirky have been very clear in the past that they do not support this type of legislation. They've raised concerns over, religious freedoms, the conflict there that has existed and has gone to the U.S. Supreme Court even in some cases, the cake shop case, of course. I know there is a slight tweak in this bill, but it doesn't seem to actually change that dynamic much. How do you suppose to actually convince those two GOP leaders that their fears are unfounded?
We have members of the faith community on our leadership committee. I still take communion as a Catholic. And we recognize that well before Jim Dressel introduced this bill, the discussion around protecting the rights and liberties on the religious community and people of faith and other communities have sometimes been at a cross-section. What you witnessed us turn in is validating that religious beliefs of an individual will absolutely continue. And in fact, we would suggest, because it was not defined in Elliot Larson originally, that this is consistent with Michigan's Constitution and that people have rightly asked the question, will I be punished as a person of faith for my views that may be contrary to some of the views of the LGBT or pro-equality community? And the answer is no.
Okay. Trevor, I talked with a conservative lawmaker just the other day. They still frame this in the way that this is giving special treatment to a certain group of individuals and that this is what this proposal is all about. And their constituents are saying, we don't want to grant a special subsect of people special rights. How do you combat that line of thinking?
I'd like to address it head on. We are not asking for special rights. The only change, and it's publicly available right now before the Board of State Canvassers for public comment for a few more days, the only change we want to see is sexual orientation, gender identity and expression added to the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act passed by Mel Larson and Daisy Elliott. They wrote a very good law. Mel is supportive, as he has said, and expected that there could be more conversation on the inclusivity and respecting the rights of others, And we're confident by what we have put forward is palpable. And you've seen the support already through our bipartisan committee. And also it's palpable to business leaders, not just here in Michigan, but around the country.
But your language, does it allow a person to say, I do not want to bake a cake for this gay couple that wants to get married? Can they do that without being punished?
An individual will be able to maintain their individual, personal, deeply held religious beliefs.
So they can say no.
When it comes to the situation you have outlined, Elliot Larson has been well-written, well-tested, and when you have a place of business that serves the public, when you have an organization or an institution, those are the three words listed, you will have to serve everybody.
So you can't say no.
You cannot say no.
Well, so then the religious freedom people are going to say, that's a deal breaker.
It still deeply respects the deeply held religious beliefs.
Well, but it doesn't allow them to act on it. You can hold the belief, but my belief says I should do this. You won't let me do that.
You know, we have seen this tested because we're so fortunate that the corporate community and cities, municipalities, have been able to take action on this, leading and pushing the state legislature. And I think we've seen how it has worked successfully over the years, since 1994 and 1997, when the first Fortune 500 CEO testified before Congress calling for this action.
In Michigan right now, you can be denied housing for being gay. You can get fired for being gay. I assume as Richard Shuba is doing polling for you guys, you are out there talking to Michiganders. Are you finding that people aren't aware of that fact here in Michigan? In a lot of our reporting, when we do these stories, people often are very surprised by that shock in Michigan. How much of this is actually education versus about laws in Michigan versus actually just trying to get people out to the ballot or out to sign?
For 80% of the data we've looked at, 80% of Michiganders believe it's already against the law to fire someone for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, kick them out of their apartment, or deny them service. And so you might think my top priority is collecting signatures, and that's very important. But our top priority is making sure that Michiganders know it is still legal in Michigan to fire someone for who they are and who they love.
Does that still happen in this state? That's another pushback I heard, that this doesn't really happen.
We would love to have a discussion with anyone that questions that. In my capacity of chairing the Equality Michigan C4 board, our team, working every day, full-time staff, has taken more than 1,000 calls for help in the last 4 years. Let me remind you that in Michigan, the Michigan Civil Rights Commission was blocked and prevented from taking calls for help and recording or assisting in any kind of way. That finally changed in May of 18, though additional steps were taken to block it until Attorney General Dana Nessel took action when she went into office.
What about the argument, if we put this on a ballot and we lose, it sets back the movement?
I am confident that we will have the resources, and based on the current data analytics, that we will succeed at the ballot in November of 2020. But also let me remind you, the legislature has plenty of time to take action before May of
27. But if you lose, does it set back the movement?
Absolutely not.
Well,
because
so Jeremy
we are
Ross
still
is
getting fired and harassed and discriminated against every day. And by the way, because it goes to Kyle's question too, in the city of Detroit, trans women are dying and being openly targeted. And Equality Michigan is based in Detroit. Our team has attended the funerals. Janice Poindexter is a co-chair. And we continue to call for action because nobody is listening to the stories of those who are passing away and the families. And look, is it happening in the Fortune 500? I am not likely to be fired from my job. But there are so many people that do not have the fortunate position to work for a company that recognizes the talents and has a policy in place to protect LGBT people in the workplace.
Trevor, we do know that the Michigan Civil Rights Commission adopted a new interpretation of sex under the Elliot Larson Act, which allows for some investigations by the Michigan Department of Civil Rights regarding gender identity and expression. why is this needed? What does this do? What does changing the law do that that interpretation does not do?
We're not recognizing the law, and the Civil Rights Commission could change with the next appointment. And so we are deeply in debt to the Civil Rights Commission for taking bold and brave action last summer, summer of 2018. My apologies. But it is so important to recognize that until, and we've never been named in state law, remember that this would be the first time we're even acknowledged by the state of Michigan through sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. We just want the same rights as everyone else. We're not asking for anything more.
Now, wasn't there a case that was done in the federal courts where a transgender person was fired but was able to get some relief in the federal courts? You could argue, well, you can just go to the federal courts then.
What we witnessed, first of all, on the front lines at Equality Michigan is that people are scared to death. And don't forget, you would have to have money and resources. And yes, there are pro bono attorneys out there. Many people still don't even know the number for our hotline. Remember, these are not moments happening in a fancy office tower in Name the City. These are likely moments happening in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. I grew up in Marne, Michigan. And you're in a place where there is a lack of education on all sides, and it is incumbent upon us to empathize that not everyone has the resources to immediately call a hotline, ask for help, and then wait to receive it for years. And so I'll bring it back to the fastest way that they can get help is by the legislature taking action and finally enshrining their rights into the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act.
You got more questions, you got more answers?
Perfect.
All right, let's hang on for overtime. Go to WKAR.org right after these closed credits. Come on back and we'll talk more.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Business Leaders for Michigan, dedicated to making Michigan a top 10 state for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. More information about the employers working to accelerate Michigan's status is available at businessleadersformichigan.com. For more Off the Record, visit WKAR.org. Michigan Public Television stations have contributed to the production costs of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.